28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Look at somebody and say, go work. Each wave has an assignment. Each word that comes, each wave, there's an assignment that goes along with that word for you to perform. Now, you just hearing it is not enough. You can't just hear a message. It's not enough. Guess what? You got to hear it to the point where you start to change something about yourself and do something. Amen. No matter what word you got, if you're not doing anything in that word, guess what? Nothing going to come out of it. And he said, Son, go out and work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. I don't want to do it. Look at somebody and say, I don't want to. Well, don't you know God's got some I don't want to children sometime? You know, every time in church you get some I don't want to's. But afterward, he repented. It's okay to repent, but you need to get to the point to where you learn your Father well enough that whenever he tells you to do something, you do it immediately, whether you want to or not. He came to that second son. This is the ones that cracked me up, this son right here. And he came to the second son and said, Go. And he answered, I go, sir, and went not. I used to work for the Salvation Army, and when I worked for the Salvation Army, we had a guy. One of the guys was under me. He's the nicest guy. And he'd get assignments that come up, and he'd look at me and say, I'll get right to that, sir. Get right to that, sir. Never do it. And his son said, Look, I'm gonna get on it. I believe this is one of them sons that get to church, and they sing their songs. I have decided to follow Jesus. And we need to have our choir go, when I feel like it. I have decided to follow Jesus when I feel like it. I have decided to follow Jesus when I feel the anointing. No turning back when I'm not in a bad mood. No turning back when nothing better's on TV. Which one of them did the will of the Father? They said unto him the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, publicans and harlots are going to enter into the kingdom of God before you. John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But them publicans and harlots, they believed him. You repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Publicans and harlots believe John. But these Pharisees didn't believe the word. Why? Because God looks at it like this. If you believe a word, it will change you. Isn't it amazing? He said they believed and repented. Well, let me tell you something. If a word doesn't cause you to repent some of your actions, you didn't believe that word. You might have heard that word, but you didn't believe that word. If it didn't change you, then you could be sitting up there hearing a bunch of stuff but never believing anything. What does that mean? I've come to church and I've been here for 6 months. There ain't nothing changed in my life. Well, you came to church, but you didn't come to church. Amen. You didn't believe anything you've heard. You are an unbeliever. Because when you believe something, it has the power within that word, your faith in that word, and your belief in that word has the ability to change something about you. Isn't that amazing? How do you know whether you believe what you heard last Sunday? Did it change anything you did this week? If it didn't change anything you did, you heard it, but you didn't believe it. Change is the fruit of repentance. Change is the fruit of repentance. Somebody say, how do I know whether I repented or not? I said I'm sorry. Well, that's just you saying you're sorry. You just sorry. But change is the fruit of repentance. Now you can forgive somebody, but that person hasn't repented of that thing unless you have seen the change. Jesus looks at a change of actions, and he saw that that change of action meant that that person repented. What you say in your heart, that you will do. The reason why God hates a liar, does anybody know that? Because they say something out of their lips that differs from their heart. And a liar calls God an idiot. you try to bring God down to your level and say, God don't know the truth. I can say whatever I want to. You calling God dumb. It's not Jesus just shame on you for lying. He said, look, don't play me like no fool. I know. Over and over again, Jesus would be ministering and teaching, and all of a sudden he knew the thoughts of those that he was teaching with. They didn't say a word out of their mouth, but he knew their thoughts and would start to say, why say ye in your hearts? Look at somebody and say, why say ye in your heart? See, your heart talks all the time, and God hears your heart. See, the issue was that first son, he said, I will not. He told the truth. I don't have a will to do this. Well, that will, he says, look, I don't love this. When we look at will, it means to love, choose, or prefer, or delight in, or to wish, a desire. On the inside, he says, look, my heart right now, God, my heart is, I don't desire to do that. I don't choose to do that. I don't love enough to do that. And he just told the truth. His confession matched his heart at that point. That second son had the same heart that the first one had. But his words, his sin was greater because his words did not match his heart. Now, I deal with ministers and preachers and people trying to get into the ministry and trying to do great things for God all the time with their words. God's not concerned about your words. He's concerned about the truth within your heart. If you don't have something deep down on the inside of your spirit, if you can't pull your gift out of your spirit, you might be motivated by an agenda or anything. It's the heart that makes a difference with God. But afterwards, he repented and did what God wanted him to do. What does that repentance mean? First one said, I don't want to do it. I don't have a desire to do it. My heart is messed up. And at times, you're going to get to the point where your heart can be messed up. And if your heart's messed up this morning, guess what? There's hope. But then afterward, he repented. He changed his heart. Isn't that wonderful? He had somehow developed a heart he did it first on the inside. And he repented first on the inside, and he didn't even have to open his mouth again. He changed it from the inside. He didn't have to open his mouth again and tell everybody, I got it together. But once he changed it on the inside first, guess what? He just naturally started to do it. Just do it. Just do it. Let me tell you what, because what's on the inside is going to come out. What's on the inside is going to come out sooner or later. Well, there was a problem here. They became a Pharisee because that Pharisee, he had a heart that was not following hard after his father. But he had a mouth that could talk a big talk. That's why in the last day he said, many who come to me saying, Lord, Lord, did I not do that? He said, yeah, you might have done all that stuff on the outside, but on the inside, your heart was not willing. To care afterwards or to regret. It's all right to care afterward. I believe there's some people here, there's some I will nots in this place this morning. That the power of the word has the ability to cause us to repent, to be more willing to do what the Father wants us to do. Isn't it amazing that he said and he went? There are three parables that I want to hit you up with. Matthew 21:33. Isn't it amazing that the first one he told him to go out and do something? God wants to get on your flesh and cause you to do something. Second one. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged in a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husband and went into a far country. And when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits thereof. You know what the servants are? Those that are doing the will of God. And this is the season that God is sending out his servants. I've never seen more servants in all my life. I've never seen more servants in all my life. More people willing to go. People going to the nations and people, more people doing more things for God and wanting to do more for God. I've never seen more of a desire, more legit people desiring to do something for God. God is sending out his servants to the harvest field. And he's sending them to his husband to receive fruits. Now, a husbandman is this, a land worker. You might think you got all your stuff together and you're in control, but everybody down here, you're on leased land. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You don't own it. It might got your name on, but it don't belong to you. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is leased property, but it all belongs to God. And he's given it to us. And God calls mankind but workmen. He said he put Adam upon the face of the earth that he may till the land and work the land. See, there are a lot of people that don't even know. They're just employees of God. They're just employees of God. And one of the words for husbandman is a worker, a land worker, or a farmer. Look at somebody and say, you're a farmer. You might got on some diamond rings, but God calls you a farmer. Amen. He puts you on the earth to farm this land and to work this land. I'm not talking about literally. I'm talking about he's caused you to produce something, to get here and prevail. And many of us have been blessed as we've become the husbandman God has called us to be. And then he sends forth his servants to receive fruits. And people don't want to yield forth those fruits. And the Bible says, the kingdom of God shall be taken from those and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. There's going to be a switch. Everybody ever heard that scripture says, for the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. You ever thought how God's going to do that? It all fits together. How is God going to do that? It goes along with this scripture here. This is the basis of that scripture. Jesus told him in this parable how he's going to do it. He's going to take away that part from the husband and give it to those that bring forth fruit in their season. Those that in wickedness don't honor God, don't think about God, don't care about God, don't support anything, don't believe in anything. God is going to snatch it, the wealth, from the wicked and give it over to people that know how to bring good fruit. And that's what he's talking about, the wealth of the wicked being stored up for the righteous. Now is the time. Now is the time. Say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He just might have some poor managers every now and then. But the Bible says that he's going to give it to people. He's going to turn it over. He's going to find other farmers. See, it's not enough good investors, good farmers. There are a whole bunch of good farmers out there, but they weren't in trouble for not being a good farmer. They were in trouble for not yielding forth the first fruits. Why does God need your fruit? No. He don't need your stuff. Doesn't want your stuff. But he doesn't want you to forget about him. Doesn't want you to get so carried away that you forget about him. Isn't that good? He will give it to husbandmen that will bring forth fruit in their right season. One more parable I want to share with you. He's got basically three things that he's saying this morning to you. The first thing he's saying is there are two sons, and that he knows your heart. And you've got to be willing on the inside of your heart. You've got to be willing from the inside of your heart. And not with just the words of your mouth. You can play the game on the outside, but it's the inside that matters. When you get your heart, when you repent on the inside of your heart, your words match up with that heart. Guess what? You'll be able to walk in integrity. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his sons. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and things are ready, come unto the marriage. You're invited to come up. But so many people love what they were doing and refuse to come to the wedding. It's not just talking about being saved. It's not just talking about being saved and the sweet by and by will come. No, he wants you at the party now. He wants you there now. He wants you in the kingdom feasting by his side and celebrating and banqueting right now. Not in the sweet by and by. He's calling you up. And I know the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's always trying to bring you up and get you closer and increase you and do more in you. He wants to lift you up. Well, I believe that's what this wedding feast is. The wedding feast is come up to the kingdom. Live kingdom lifestyle. Live like God wants you to live. Walk like God wants you to walk. Walk in authority and boldness. Come on up to this wedding. But people don't want to come. They get too busy to come. He's calling you. See, we thought we were safe. We answered. You ain't in no wedding yet. When Jesus throws a party, he knows how to throw a party. But they would not come. He said, look, I've killed this. I've sacrificed. He said, I've killed this fattling, and I've taken care of this ox, and I've set it up. I've sacrificed something, and I've prepared something, a feast. And here I got this thing set up, and these folk won't even come. Can I tell you what? God sacrificed for your healing. Come on up to the wedding. God sacrificed for your abundance. Come on up to your wedding. God sacrificed for your supernatural living with the Holy Ghost in communion with God. Come on up to the wedding feast. What you waiting back for? But they made light of it. See, that's the problem. That's why people don't come into to great abundance. That's why people don't live in that kingdom lifestyle. It's because they make light of these great things which God has done for us. No big deal. When he comes in the sky, we all get to go to heaven singing, I'll fly away, all glory. That's a big deal. But this thing that he's done for us already, it's no big deal. Don't make light of the things of God. Don't make light of the kingdom of God that he's been preaching and teaching to you about 6 months. God's calling you to a wedding feast. Don't make light of those things. Practice those things. Allow those words to change your heart and do something in you and bring you up. Don't make light of them. And when we make light of these things and these teachings and these waves and the gifts that God's given us, people that he's placed in our lives, amen? Teachers that he's placed in our life, anointings that he's placed in our life, and we just make light. Make light of what God's done. See, that's how they missed Jesus the first time. He came. He came and they made him just like everybody else. They made light of him. And there are many things that's your breakthrough and it's your deliverance and it's your victory, and you can't grow up to the kingdom because you make light of those things which God has prepared for you. Many people make light of the word of God. They don't, because they don't know that it's powerful. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. They make light of it. You got a problem. You got a circumstance. You got a situation that right beside your bed with dust on it is your answer. It's your breakthrough. It's your miracle. It's your victory. But you don't pick it up because you make light of it. It's a whole lot heavier than what you think it is. So people miss God's best because they make light of the things of God. There's something here to break your yoke of bondage and set you free for the year. No, we just make light of it. It's just another Sunday. Another teaching. It's just another message. Light of it. Light of it. Whatever weight you give to the word you receive will be the substance that you will be able to use to it. You know what I mean? God could give you a hammer. He give you a word and that thing's a hammer. And you turn the hammer that God's given you and made it a feather and wonder why you can't tear down your walls and destroy your walls. Because you don't put weight and faith behind what you believe in. Amen? Look at somebody and say, lightweight. I call you supernatural, spiritual lightweight because you make light of everything and you can't push anything down. Don't take anything serious. Lightweight. And they went their way. Notice they went their way. One to his farm. He thought it was his farm. And the other went to his merchandise, to their stuff. They made light of the kingdom. Their stuff was weightier and more important, so they would not come up. They made light of that. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. And they got their perspective off. How many of you are going to repent and get things flipped around the right way? How many are going to get it right? He said, well, I tell you what, forget that. So there's going to be a whole lot of shifting and shaking going on. Listen, not only is he going to turn around those first ones, those husbandmen, and take the wealth of the wicked and give it to the righteous? But when God's been trying to call them up and call them up and call them up and call them up and call them up, at the same season when he turns the wealth of the wicked over to the righteous, is the same season to where he's just going to say, stay down there, let me find somebody else. Come on up. Go, therefore, into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to come up to this kingdom of God that we live, this abundant life that we live in. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The kingdom will be furnished with guests. God's going to allow people to come into this kingdom lifestyle, but the king will see, and he will hear. Notice the first parable that we spoke about, he talked about he knew it, that on the inside, he said it, the other one said, I will, but he didn't do it because it was a heart condition. He didn't think that God could tell his heart condition. God does inspection. God does inspection. There are a lot of people that were coming to the kingdom, trying to get in the kingdom, and there was one guy that came in that didn't have on wedding clothes. Snuck through and didn't have on wedding clothes. That means you can't just come in the kingdom and act any kind of way, live any kind of way with any kind of thing on. Amen. God will do the inspection. He'll do the inspection. Don't you worry about it. God will take care of it. God will prune. He will prune. And he will cut back. And this is the last thing that he did here. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou hither not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I think there was something in those three parables that would help us. How about you? The word that you allow to change you is the word that will work for you. Liking a word is not enough. Or enjoying the way the word's presented or taught. What will bring about the change in your life and the difference is the word that you allow to get on the inside and change you. And that's up to you. We talked about those two sons. Father wanted them to do something. They said, Look, I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. Father, I'll do it. And you haven't done it yet. Let me tell you something blunt. I'm not beating anybody up, but I feel the unction from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost tells me to tell you, you are a liar. And your heart is not right. And you need to stop making excuses for your heart condition. You need to look at your heart. You need to look at your heart and ask the Holy Ghost to come and water that heart. The Bible says when we are weak, he is strong. There are certain things that I deal with in my life that I am too weak to overcome. But in our weakness, is he yet strong? Allow the Lord to minister on the inside of your heart. If you've heard God speak, not in me, just in any way, and you felt his leading in any way, and you wanted to change that, and you got it to your lips, and you were able to say it from your lips, well, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, or I feel that, and I'm going to be there. But on the inside, you don't see any fruit. There's no change to what you talk about. That means that we need to go back and deal with the heart. And you need the Holy Ghost to water over your heart. And he said, Lord, David said, Father, create in me a clean heart that I might follow after you. And the heart is not your job. The heart is the job of the Holy Spirit. And many of us sit up there and struggle with our hearts, and we get all under condemnation, and we get all worked over, amen? And then some of us develop this lack of integrity type thing to where we have a hidden identity. We're all messed up when nobody sees us. But when people are around, our words are right. And that's what he said, you look like whitewashed sepulchres, Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, on the outside, you're all whitewashed, but on the inside, you're full of dry bones. God wants to deal with your heart this morning. And God can give us in spiritual integrity. God is able to help your heart this morning. This morning, there might be those in this room right here, right now, powerless. And our lifestyle doesn't match up with our confession. Our mouth is out, gone beyond our heart. We're not honest. There's no pit here. Nobody's trying to send anybody to hell. We're just trying to balance ourselves and be real. Nobody wants you to be perfect. We just want you to be real and honest. That's all. You might have been that servant and said, Look, I will not. And didn't go. And you went gone. And now you want to go. Or you might be the other one that's really in trouble. The one that said he was going to go and didn't go. And that boy actually thinks he went. That's why I said the word lie this morning, because the second son's the dangerous son. Because as long as he's saying it, he thinks that he's doing it. And that would go on forever and ever and ever and ever. If you'd like help, you want to be honest this morning, why don't you come forward in Jesus' name?
Praise you, Lord Jesus. We You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.